Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman, Wesley Wildman, and Tony Vitagliano are here. And Fred Jackson went back to his office, and Chris Woodward is now sitting in the news chair. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, and good afternoon to our East Coast listeners.
You can say Eastern. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, but it is East Coast, typically. Mm-hmm. But if you want to go with Eastern... how you doing, Chris?
I'm well.
You got all your Christmas shopping done, have
no,
you?
No.
About time you get a new badge there.
Let me give some advice to people out there that are ordering things for their spouses or significant others.
Give us some advice, Chris. Go ahead.
When you are ordering something, do your dead level best to beat your significant other home to intercept the box that has been marked by the company you ordered it from, therefore giving it away as to what the box is. Yeah.
So is this advice coming from what could happen or what has happened?
It's what has happened.
like this Christmas now?
Maybe. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
As in like on your lunch break yesterday?
Man, let me tell you.
All right, you should have had it sent here.
I know. But
a lot of people
I was
do that, actually.
I've yeah, thought about that, but I was concerned that maybe they would take it as like credit card fraud because it like conflicted with the address for the card, whatever. So lesson learned there. Yeah.
That's when you call your wife and you ask her to bring you something at work, and you just leave and you're not here. There, and you're like,
yeah.
Miscommunication. Yeah.
So was this for one of your daughters or for your wife?
I can't answer that question.
You'll have to kill me, right? Yeah.
No, I wouldn't kill you. I wouldn't kill you. I need you to continue to pay me.
Oh, okay, I got you. So you have a vested interest in me staying alive.
Man, I will pick up your dry cleaning or restrap the parking
lot. That is a problem for a lot of people. Is how do I order for my family without tipping them off? Which, you know, again, goes back to what J.J. Jasper says, as long as there's a truck stop open, on Christmas Eve, Christmas shopping is always available.
Everybody in Texas gets beaver nuggets from the Buc-ee's.
Yeah. Well, something wrong with that?
No, they're quite tasty. Beaver is good.
That.
Beaver nuggets. Beaver.
Since we're giving advice, don't ever fall for the I don't want anything or need anything for Christmas.
Yeah.
And then You've not get that? Anything. Yeah.
Oh, you mean especially if your spouse says that?
Oh, nothing. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, right. And then they get you something.
Yes.
That's wrong.
That is wrong.
That happened. You've heard of that?
Okay, I'm just nodding along.
He does not want to share anything.
No, let's let's don't get each other.
None of these situations have ever happened to me. Right. I don't know what you're talking about.
Let's don't get anything. Let's don't get each other anything.
I think at this point it's humor, but any further, and I think we're all going to get in trouble.
Then the package for you there for your gift is in front of the whole family. Oh, I just decided to get you a little something. All right. So you're listening to today's Issues. Yes. What's the first story, Chris?
I've got a couple of things here from Elon Musk. He was on Katie Miller's podcast yesterday.
Occupy Mars.
Yes, Katie Miller is the wife of Stephen Miller, who works for the Trump administration. Right. Katie has a podcast and interviews a whole bunch of famous people. Her latest podcast includes Elon Musk, and they got into a number of topics. I'm just going to bring in a couple of clips here. The first one is when she asks him if Doge was successful, and I do want to give you guys a heads up. There's a few pregnant pauses in here in the way of Elon Musk and his response, but was Doge successful? Clip 16.
We're a little bit successful. We were somewhat successful. We stopped a lot of funding for that really just made no sense. That was just entirely wasteful. Where it were, like, for example, there was probably 100, maybe $200 billion worth of zombie payments per year, which simply by enforcing that there be a payment code and an explanation for the payment, that the payment would not go out. So we made that change to the main Treasury computer and a bunch of other computers. It seems like insanely obvious, there are just, call it.
We're going to stop here. I'm about to go to sleep.
Yeah. So I played that one. This is less pauses here. But now to the money question. Katie Miller asks Elon if he would do Doge again. And it's less slow. Clip 17.
Would you do Doge again, knowing what you know now?
I mean, the thing is, like, I think instead of doing Doge, I would have basically built, worked on my companies, essentially. So, and the cars, they wouldn't have been burning the cars.
You gave up a lot to do Doge.
Yeah. Like, if you stop money going going for political corruption, they will lash out big time.
Mm-hmm.
So they really want the money to keep flowing. So if you stop it from flowing, there's like a very strong reaction to stopping the money flowing.
What was Doge?
Doge was the Department of Government Efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Department. I knew what it was, but I couldn't remember the acronym.
Yeah. Department of Government Efficiency. it's always tough when you have a state in any country that's as bloated as ours is currently. I think about
federal government.
The federal government,
about?
Yes. Yeah. Milei, is it Milei or Milei in Argentina? Mm-hmm. Right, that was his thing, right? The chainsaw, mm-hmm. And that was kind of what Elon Musk kind of looked up to and wanted to follow that model. Just day one, we're just cutting entire departments. Honestly, that's probably what needs to happen. But what happened in Argentina is that there is such an entrenchment of these departments, these government programs, that Argentina now needs a bailout from us because mm-hmm. you've just started ripping things out and mm-hmm. it starts to fall apart mm-hmm. quickly. Should they keep going? Some people would argue, that Doge should keep going and they should do more. But I think what we found out really quickly is that, first of all, there's not as much of a willingness for government to cut government spending as certain parties and political commentators would have us believe. And the other part is that, it can get kind of messy. Now, he's right. The USAID, that was a part of the shadow funds that was producing was flowing into certain Democratic, mm-hmm. Super PACs, super funds, shadow mm-hmm. funds, whatever. So he did get pushback on that. And
the people that benefit the most from the federal government programs that are bloated, as you say, and a lot of times unaudited or unaccounted for where the money goes, as we've seen what happened with in Minnesota.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
With the Somalis fraud. They're frauding the federal government to get grants to organizations that don't even exist or don't do anything. They're just shell. That's a big scandal in Minnesota involving the federal government's money, i.e. our taxpayers' money. We're going to hear and see more of that, what's going on. 70-something people have been indicted mm-hmm. over this. But, yeah, the waste, the fraud, the abuse of our tax dollars with federal government spending is that's what Doge and Elon Musk were trying to get started is, mm-hmm. is how to deal with this and how to spotlight this and as much as he could with executive orders from President Trump to do something about it. And it was, it was It was a big show for about
a couple months.
I say show not in a disrespectful way. I'm saying it was a big deal in the news for a couple, 3 months maybe. And then Elon Musk, you know, he got enormous backlash from the left.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he was talking about. He said, I probably could have focused on my companies and not had our cars being burned by left-wing radicals, you know,
right.
to make a point that he's the devil.
Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is that if there is ever another Democratic administration, a lot of this waste is probably going to boot back up.
Oh, sure.
I mean, they'll start granting these contracts again, you know, and they'll leave them in place for years. It's just.
Well, now I will say one significant thing that President Trump and his administration. They've tried to do a lot. They've been successful sometimes, but the effort has been there for the most part.
Right.
In doing something about this, his administration has ordered the SNAP program, which otherwise known as food stamps. Right. Mm-hmm. So this is a federal government program that gives people money across America to supposed to help them buy food. Right,
mm-hmm.
So people don't starve. That's why SNAP exists, theoretically.
Right.
Okay, and so, but the Trump administration says there's a lot of fraud here. People getting money they don't qualify for, right? But they never have to prove it because the program's not ever audited. And he's saying, President Trump's administration, not he personally, is saying the people are going to have to reapply.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean they're not going to get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He said, we're going to make you reapply for this federal money that you're getting to prove that you are who you say you are. And
you meet the qualifications.
Meet the qualifications. So now that's going to be portrayed by the left as
taking
starving
food.
Poor people.
That's,
Trump,
right.
Trump is taking the food out of the mouths of babies.
Right.
That's how it will be projected as. But no, that's not true. What he's trying to do is do something about, on that particular program, fraud, abuse, and the problem with the federal government is there's the bigger something, the more centralized power gets,
right.
The harder it is to stop corruption, and that's why the founding, I'm getting into some political philosophy here, but this is the reason the founders didn't want centralized power in the nation's capital, in Washington, D.C., because they wanted it in the states. Because the more localized you are with the government, the more accountability there is.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
that
makes
sense. So but the more power that Washington, D.C. wants to absorb. That's why I think it's a good idea to, like, with the FBI, for example, or the Justice Department, let's put them in Omaha.
Yep.
Put some of the offices in, in Waco or you know, I don't know, wherever. But to get some of this power out of it, even physically,
mm-hmm.
get it out of Washington, D.C. Anyway, that's just back to Doge. Elon Musk, he did personally sacrifice. Now, he's still going to be able to make his house note.
Yeah.
Okay.
He'll be fine.
But he did sacrifice for the sake of our country, I think. And I think he should be commended.
He tried. He tried to do something, not something that has happened for decades.
He tried.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Tony, Wesley and Chris. Chris, what's your next story?
All right. So several people with podcasts and television shows and whatnot have long been sharing conspiracy theories about the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And yesterday, Charlie's widow, Erica, went on Fox News. She was on the Outnumbered program on Fox, which airs around noon every day. And she responded to the conspiracy theories out there. Now, one of the people in America that's been making the most headlines for sharing conspiracy theories has been Candace Owens, who used to work with Charlie Kirk at TPUSA many moons ago. Erica did not mention Candace by name, but many people have taken her comments here about somebody making millions or thousands of dollars off every video. Many people are taking it into Erica saying this about Candace. Clip 13.
Come after me. Call me names. I don't care. Call me what you want. Go down that rabbit hole. Whatever. But when you go after my family, my Turning Point USA family, my Charlie Kirk Show family, when you go after the people that I love and you're making hundreds and thousands of dollars every single episode going after the people that I love because somehow they're in on this, no. This is not okay. It's not healthy. This is a mind virus. Yes, I believe in our judicial system. I do. Just know that your words are very powerful, and we are human. My team are not machines, and they're not robots. They are human. We have more death threats on our team and our side than I have ever seen. I have kidnapping threats. I have, you name it, we have it. And my poor team is exhausted, and every time they bring this back up, what are we supposed to do, relive that trauma all over again? They watched my husband get murdered.
Wow, those are some powerful words from Erica. Erica Kirk there. Wesley, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, this is the first that I've seen thus far her be...
She's talking about Candace Owen primarily.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's one of the first times that I know that she's responded to her. I know that their staffers mentioned the other day in one of their podcasts that they've withheld this long, because Candace had been doing this for several weeks now, a couple months, that they've withheld this long to comment on Candace Owen in hopes that with time she would
stop it,
tone it down.
For those who don't know, Candace Owen she's very well known, but what she's been doing is she's been having podcasts where she
makes claims.
Yeah.
What Tony talked about that?
She'll make a claim, and often won't produce. Not that I've seen. More often than not, can't produce the evidence.
She's suggesting that Charlie Kirk's death was an inside job.
Yes, that's one of the. That's probably things. The most.
Is that right?
Yes.
Outlandish.
So she mentioned at first it was. Israel killed Charlie. Then it was TPUSA killed Charlie, and then there was a third one as well.
Now, is she just asking questions, or is she? Because I don't listen to her podcast. Or does she say categorically this did happen? Do you know the answer to that?
Both. She implies it in all three.
Might as well say it.
Yeah, and she also blamed it. She said the FBI did it as well. So, but she couldn't, but that's why it's a little bit, that's why after the second and third one, that's where she started really losing some credibility. Because if you take one of the accusations and you stick with it and you provide partial evidence and you stick with it and you go with it, you can leave people on. But now she's lost a lot of credibility was it Israel now, or is it FBI, or is it Erica? Like, who did it? Because she keeps saying she's changing her story, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Some people have said, well, if we didn't even talk about it, how many people would really know what Candace is saying? But
sure.
The claims are so outrageous
that
people, news products, especially news programs, they have to discuss it.
TPUSA said that as well. They said another reason, one of three reasons why they didn't talk about it and to respond to her till now, because it was so outrageous that
they didn't think anybody had any credibility.
But.
And Frank Turek's talked about this too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, he said that you have to have, when Frank talked about this, he's talked about it twice.
Because Frank was there when Charlie was killed.
He talked about it at a college campus that he was at. He also talked about it on TPUSA, and he went straight to the scriptures and said that if you're going to make a claim, which Candace Owen has, you have to have two eyewitnesses. Otherwise, or you have to have strong evidence. And if you don't have either one of those, he reminded Candace Owen that would be called slander and gossip. And both of those are condemned in scripture.
Well, that was some pretty strong words, strongest I've heard yet from Erica Kirk. And she's basically saying her staff at Turning Point USA are trying to do the work, carry on the work of Charlie and and their mission, and they're just beleaguered by all this stuff. This, you know, and you know, she said she's had a lot of death threats and kidnapping threats. That's
Candace
awful.
Owen. Candace Owen has lost and will continue to lose a lot of credibility amongst the conservatives. I'm seeing
because of this.
And so we'll, and I hope she does. I hope
at some point you get unrecoverable. As a commentator, she'll have her crowd, but I mean, she won't be, she won't be accepted in the conservative movement's family,
right,
so to speak. So does that make sense,
it's,
Tony?
It seems like she's stuck in this spiral where, you know,
it's like a kid lying to his parents.
Yes, exactly. It's conspiracy after conspiracy, and you just further continue to isolate yourself from those around you.
With this particular story, that is the assassination of Charlie Kirk, it's pretty obvious what happened.
Yeah,
right.
The guy was on top of the building. They have video footage.
Oh, yeah.
Does she say that doesn't? Anyway, and the motivation was there because he was...
Well, he admitted to it.
He hated Charlie Kirk's message.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he was hanging out with a guy who was a left-wing nut.
It just distracts us.
Huh?
It just distracts us from focusing on the radical left, the violence within the radical left. It's just distracting on the conservative side to start throwing in conspiracy theories and inside jobs and all of that, when the focus should just be on condemning radical left-wing violence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Americans, we are kind of a really good audience for people like this because we're born skeptical of government and what people tell us. Mm. We don't trust a lot of people. And so sometimes these people make a lot of money doing and saying things based on the fact that we're skeptical or untrusting of folks.
What's your next story, Chris? All right. We got about 3 minutes here. How much do water boys get paid?
Oh, yes.
I think that's what America wants to know.
It sure is, sir.
The NFL.
Yes.
National Football League.
Some people would call it the No Fun League based on the fact that you can't really tackle anymore. If anybody out there is looking for a job,
there are job opportunities available.
Yes.
I don't want to hear about unemployment.
Get off SNAP.
There's only like 30
something. Get off SNAP.
Yeah.
If you want to get
it's a good job if you can
NFL.
Get it.
The NFL has water boys, right?
Yes. According to Pro Football Network, the current annual salary for an NFL water boy is between $50,000 and $60,000. It could be actually more depending on the team and the situation.
Yeah, you got tips, and then you got other things covered as well. So you get.
You mean you get tips for being a water boy?
And you get a. You get like your food covered, you get travel covered, so that's
gear. You get to go with the team.
It's more than
I don't know where you sit on the plane.
And it's half a year.
What do you call it? The accessories
$50,000-$60,000
for 6 months out of the year,
and have all your travel expenses covered, and all you got to do is say open up.
What is the job interview? What is the job interview for this?
What's
like?
Your experience?
I think they're sitting. Yeah. You're sitting across from the table from a few people, and there's a bottle of water,
water gun,
and they just slide it across the table. Teams like, we want to see you drink this bottle of water, sir.
Yeah.
And they're just making notes
as
you drink it.
And we want to see you squirt it into this dummy over here.
Yeah,
because they open up, because the water boys on the NFL, they're water boys, but their job is to hold that Gatorade or whatever they got, and the guy opens their mouth. Now sometimes they hand it to them.
Yeah,
it's
excessive splashing. That's gonna check
strike,
against
right,
you.
Right. Excessive splashing, that disqualifies you. But I just thought, you know, it's $50,000-$60,000 a year to be an NFL water boy, as Wesley said, with the lifestyle. You know, you get to travel with the.
As Chris pointed out, 6 months out of the year max, something like that. So.
Can you imagine when you take your dad to school day? Like, what does your dad do?
Hey, guys, listen, if you get the mix of the Gatorade too strong or too weak, you're coming out.
You're on the chopping block.
You're not
quarterback gonna. Throws four picks. He's back next week. Right. The water boy could be fired.
Yeah, I wonder if the NFL water boys have a union.
I'm sure.
I wonder if they've unionized.
They try to transfer over to basketball. Yeah, like, hey, look, that might have flown in football, but we squirt our water bottles different here in basketball, son.
All right, we are out of time. We thank you for yours here on Today's Issues on American Family Radio. And we'll Trivia Friday tomorrow, so we'll see you back here then.